Good morning.
Good morning.
We turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." You know, Solomon, he was a wise man, and he gives us a truth here in the book of Ecclesiastes, and this truth is very important. It's truly very important. And he shows that he desires for you to find this truth out when you're young. He really has that desire for you to figure this out when you're young, before you get too old. And this is his desire. His desire is for you to understand this truth while you're young. And he went through a lot. Solomon went through a lot of experimenting. He had a lot of wisdom, and he went through a lot to figure out this truth, and he wants to impart it to you, and he desires for you to figure this out while you're young. And you know, that's a difficult thing to do. That's wisdom. Whenever you're able to learn from what somebody else has already gone through and experimented, and he can tell you something that you don't know about, and he's forewarning you, and you can just take that and believe it and live understanding that truth, that's real wisdom. Amen. And this is what he went through. He went through things to be able to tell us some stuff, and he wants us to understand that. And the truth that he comes to, I believe, in this book, is that a life without faith is meaningless. That's really the truth he comes to. If you live your life without faith, then your life really is meaningless. And he wants you to figure that out when you're young. He wants you to realize this truth while you're young. And that's what he says here, in the days of thy youth. So let's go to chapter 1. And just in chapter 1, I'm gonna briefly read some of this, just so that we get an idea of how he's speaking here. I don't know if you've read the book of Ecclesiastes lately, but just remember how he speaks. And he says, beginning verse 1, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to its place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that seeth, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after." That's what the preacher is saying. He says these things. So what he wants us to come to understand is that life without faith is meaningless. And, you know, you read this and it kind of seems quite gloomy. And it kind of seems, you know, down. And if you read it all, it's just quite sad. He says, I've tried everything. I've increased with riches. I've had everything I needed. I've done all these things. But it all ends up being vanity. It's useless. It's meaningless. And it can get you kind of down if you see it. But this is what he wants you to figure out when you're young. Because then you can do something with your life. First, so I want to talk about what he basically sum up what he's saying and why he's saying it. Why is he saying that a life without faith is useless? Why is he saying this is meaningless? Because he went through a lot to find meaning in life and he didn't find it. First off is because he understands, he gets to the conclusion that nothing satisfies. Nothing satisfies. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, the eye is not filled. The eye is not satisfied. The ear is not filled with hearing. Nothing will satisfy you in this life.
Amen.
And that's the thing about this life, is that no matter what you do, no matter what you seek, no matter what you're after and long for and desire, it's not going to satisfy you.
That's right. Amen.
And he's giving this out of his experience from having done and accumulated so much. I mean, in other words, it's not like a bum off the street that's telling you this. This is the King Solomon. He was full of wisdom, great wisdom. Kings and queens came from far just to hear him speak. And he's telling you, nothing satisfies. What's gonna satisfy? He says, I tried it all. I tried wine. I tried riches. I tried all these things, but nothing satisfies. And that's the truth. Nothing satisfies.
Amen.
And we see this and we kind of relate this and we think about it and we abstain from things because we know, you know, don't take drugs because once you get on drugs, you're going to be on that path and nothing's going to satisfy. It's not like, oh, you take it once and that's it. You don't need it anymore. It's just something that you want more and more and more. And it's not going to satisfy you and you're going to keep going. And we understand this and we warn our kids, don't do it. And everybody's agreeing with this. You know, warn your kids, don't do this. But the truth is that it's not only these, you know, crazy, bad, wicked things that are like this. It's simply true of all your life. Nothing is going to satisfy. Money is not going to satisfy. How much do you want to make? How much earn? What do you want to earn a year till you think, oh, now I'm satisfied? You see, nothing's going to satisfy you because you can always outspend what you make. It's easy to do. And so you're never going to be satisfied. And so if you're seeking for money to be what satisfies you, you're not going to find it because it will not. Again, this is not spoken by some nobody. This is spoken by the man that says, I was the wealthiest man in Jerusalem from everybody before me. Nobody had what I have had, what I have accumulated. I've had riches, he says, but it will not satisfy. Because that's simply what your life is. Nothing will satisfy. Nothing will satisfy. You can't satisfy with money. You know, it just comes down to anything, like food. You know, you can't be satisfied with food. Have you ever noticed that you eat and a couple hours later you're hungry again? Today we're probably going to stuff ourselves, right? We're going to stuff ourselves after we're going to go get lunch and we're going to eat. But then tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to be hungry again. You might not even last till tomorrow. You'll probably eat again tonight. It just goes to show that nothing satisfies. And what he says is, this is the reality of your life. It's just like food. You're going to fill up your belly and you're going to be hungry again tomorrow. But that's your life. No matter what you do, you're going to want more and more and more, and nothing is going to satisfy it. Never. Now, when we're young, we want to think, no. I'm going to find it. I'm going to be fine. It's going to be different with me. And we think this. But Solomon, what he's saying is, no, just listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I have gained out of experience. Just trust me on this. Nothing is going to satisfy you. And that's why we have to be careful for what we get into and what we're seeking and what we start, because it's going to get more and more desirable and more, and you will not be satisfied. And it can take you to a lot of dangerous things. But again, he experimented with everything, and he knew it. And talk about, like, for example, women, you know, what about women? He was even able to say, look, he's had 1,000 wives, but not even that will satisfy a man. Listen, your life without Jesus, without faith, is simply meaningless. Because nothing will satisfy. And he wants you, especially the youth, look, the younger you are when you get this down, when you realize this truth, the better. Don't wait until you're old to realize the thing, to say, oh, I realize now that I need faith. I realize now that my life is meaningless without faith. Don't wait until you're old, when you can't do anything about it now. That's what he's saying. Not only does nothing satisfy, but he basically through this book, it shows us that nothing changes. Nothing changes and nothing ever really improves. He says there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing, nothing changes. It's always just going to be the same, because that's what your life is. Your life is just constantly going around and nothing ever really changes. And he's seen this by experience. He looks at it and it's just, that's the reality of life. It's not going to change. It's not going to be different. You think you're going to be different than everybody else that's lived before you? You really think so? Nothing's going to get better. You think things are going to get better? It's probably because you're young. Because when you're old, you know things don't get better. You know things get worse. Just look around. Look at somebody and figure out, listen, wrinkles are coming. No matter how much you try, no matter how much stuff you try, it's gonna come. Because nothing changes. Basically, there's a path of life, and the way that path is bent is not going to change. He's seen it, he's experienced it, he's looked at it, he knows it, and he's telling you, it's not going to change. It's not going to be any different for you. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Because if you don't die young, the only thing you're waiting for is you're going to get old and achy and hurting. And sooner or later, what has happened to everybody else is also going to happen to you. And death will come. Because nothing changes. And things aren't improving. It's not like just because of time, things are getting better. Things decay. And we know this. This is a law. It's gonna decay. Things are getting worse. And nothing changes that outcome. He says things like, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. Nothing is gonna change it. It's a road that is fixed and it's not going to be changed. And you can't change it. But again, the thing is, when we're young, we don't want to think that way. We don't want to look at all of life and how it is. We don't want to go to, like he says, the house of mourning to consider the end of these ways. We don't want to do that. We want to live life thinking, oh, it's going to be different. But he's saying, at the end of this book, he's saying, I want you, while you're young, to figure this out. You need to seek God. You need faith. Because your life without faith is meaningless. Nothing changes. Nothing satisfies. In fact, nothing lasts. Nothing endures. Nothing endures. Everything you do. He says, I've labored, worked hard. I'm constantly. And on all the work that you do, what's going to happen with it? Is it going to last? No, everything is going to be gone. Everything is just going to disappear. Nothing is going to last. Not even your memory. Now, I know this is sad. I know this is kind of, it's kind of a difficult thing to think about. And the way he puts it, everything's vanity. Everything's just vanity. It's useless. But Paul even puts it in a worse way, I think. He says, everything I am, everything I've done, everything, I count it, but dung. That's the way Paul puts it. He puts it a little bit nicer. He says, it's just vanity. But that's the thing about your life without faith. It's vanity. It's not going to last. It's not going to go anywhere. In fact, even the memory of us will be gone. And even the statues they erect of people will soon, one day, fade out of memory. Because that's just simply how life is. It's not nothing new. It's not surprising. It's just that's the way it is. Your grandkids probably won't even remember you for long. Do you know the name of your great-great-great-grandfather? Maybe you do. And if you do, that's probably the only thing you know about him. Because that's just simply how life is. And that's what he says. It's not, nothing's gonna last. Nothing stays like that. Nothing lasts. Nothing that you do lasts. You know, and this is like Adi, she's always working, you know, she loves to clean. And so she's cleaning the house and she cleans it so much. She makes it all sparkling and shiny. And then me and the kids come in and we walk around and throw everything, knock everything down, and it's dirty again. It's a mess. And she's wondering, what's going on? But that's exactly how life is. Nothing you do is going to last. What work do you think that you're going to do that is going to be everlasting? There just simply isn't. Because that's just the reality of life. And Solomon, through all his experience and all his wisdom, is getting to the end and he's telling you this. He's saying, listen, while you're young, as young as you are, you need to realize this truth. Life without faith is meaningless. And we need to realize this truth. You need to come to this truth. You need to understand that. And it's hard to accept. It's hard. We don't want to accept that. But it's the truth. Your life without faith is meaningless. The thing is that Jesus has offered us something, and this is the thing, that there is a life that has true meaning. There is a life that has true meaning. And you can exchange this useless, meaningless life that you have to actually have real, true, valuable life with Christ. And that is the exciting thing. That is where it turns around and you say, okay, life without faith is meaningless. Yes, but you see, life with faith brings meaning to everything you do. And that's what we have in Christ. And that's the great thing. There is a life that has meaning. There is a life that matters. And so, Jesus comes and he says, you have your life, but if you're willing to give me your life, if you're willing to lay down your life for me, I'm willing to give you in exchange real, true life. What he's offering is the deal of a lifetime, the deal of a century. He's saying, what you have that is really meaningless, what you have that is truly of no value whatsoever, because in the end, it all just disappears. What you have that is useless, you can give to me. You can take that and buy of me gold tried in the fire. You can get something really, truly valuable for just giving me your life. And Jesus is making this offer. He's making this offer to us. And the truth is that I believe what he says, what Solomon says to the youth, saying, you need to do this. You need to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That is the opportunity that we have that we should not pass up. A lot of youth don't really want to think about this right now. Youth have plans, they have ideas, they have things they are seeking, they are looking for, and they don't want to think about life in the grand scheme, the whole thing. And I think Solomon is saying, hey, you need to take time and listen to what I'm saying and think about the reality of your life. Your life without faith is meaningless. It has no meaning. But your life with faith will give you all the meaning in everything that you do. And you can live your life for Christ and bring meaning and true value to your life. And so, this is something that is not easy. Faith isn't something that is easy, and we want to make it sometimes out and make it seem like it's easy. But what faith is truly asking of us, faith that Jesus Christ is asking of us, is truly for us to renounce our life and to give it to Him. Right. It's renouncing your life, and He wants you to renounce your life daily. Because it's not something that you just do one time and think that that's it. There's nothing else to do. He really wants you to renounce your life, and you're going to have to renounce it daily. You're going to have to every day wake up and decide, I am going to live not for myself, not for my wants, not for my desires, but I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. And see, that's what faith is, because it takes faith for you to see what is reality. It takes faith for you to see who the true King is. Jesus is King, and He is coming to establish His kingdom. And it takes faith to believe that, because we don't see that right now. But He said it, it's in His Word, it's a promise, and you should believe it. And that's what faith is. And if you live your life without this faith, without this trust and belief in Jesus Christ, in who He is and what He's going to come do, then your life is really meaningless. And you have the chance to exchange what you have for true meaning. The end of what he says in Ecclesiastes, there in chapter 12, in verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And this is what he wants you to think about, to figure out while you're young. Get this, understand this. That no matter everything you do, what you do and all that you do, the most important thing, and if you want real value, that is, you need to seek God while you're alive. In your life, during your life. You need to seek God. Because that's what your life is about. In other words, if you live your life about yourself, your life is meaningless, because that's not what your life is about. Your life is not about you. Your life is about serving God, seeking God, loving God, Amen. Believing God. And only then will you find what you can't find in life. You will find what truly satisfies. You can find true satisfaction in Christ. You see, that's something that you can't get out of life without Him. It's something you can't get without faith. But with faith and in faith, you can have true satisfaction. You can live knowing that even though you're going to die, that's not the end. You can live knowing that even though death is coming, you know what? What lives inside you and what you have is, like Peter says, a lively hope. A real hope. A hope that lives and exists. And grows and continues on. And it satisfies. It's satisfying. You can have peace. See, the things that you get in faith are the things that you can't get just in your own life. Which again seem contradictory, because you think that if you're seeking the things that you want for yourself, you'll get them. But the reality is, You need to not seek that for yourself, and you need to seek God, and He'll give them to you. You know, what you can't get from real life, which is improvement, it's everything's going downhill, you can get through faith in Jesus Christ. Because He has promised to give you a new creation. He has promised to give you resurrection. He has promised to lift you up and give you a body that you can't even imagine. Something that you couldn't get just living for this life. And eternal things, things that truly last, that's exactly what Christ comes to give. He says you can work for a reward that cannot be taken away, that will not perish, that nothing can corrupt. You can seek that reward. But that reward is in Christ through faith. It's not living for ourselves and for our desires. This is the whole of Ecclesiastes' conclusion is, listen, if you live a life without faith, then it's meaningless. It's vanity, and it's useless. But if you live a life searching for God, loving God, if you live a life in faith, then it brings all the meaning in the world. You have meaning to your life. So do you want meaning to your life? Do you want your life to mean something? Then you have to have faith in God. You have to have faith in Christ. And if you want your life to mean something, if you're not a Christian, then that's exactly the point. Christ is saying you need to lose your life. You need to give up your life. You need to renounce your life. And you need to come to me. You need to give me your life. And I will give you true life, real life, eternal life. But every day we have a decision to live by faith or to live by our own desires. We have a decision to live in the spirit or to live in the carnal, in the flesh. We have that decision every day. And that decision changes everything. You decide to live for Christ today, and that will not go unrecognized. But that's a decision every day you have to make. And every day we wake up and we have to decide, again, am I going to live today for myself, or am I going to live for Christ? Am I going to live through faith, or am I going to live by sight? Am I going to live in faith today? It's something you have to decide every day, and you have to think about. And so, it's wise to listen to the wise. It's wise to take heed to those that have given us understanding. And the New Testament teaches us, I mean, it just came clear. That's the thing about Ecclesiastes, it's all focused on the sadness of the meaningless of life. But in the New Testament, we see Christ and the life that He comes to give and the promises that He offers and the things that He's going to do and accomplish, and that brings the bright side to it. And that is that you give your meaningless life up and give it to Christ, and He'll give you a meaningful life, living for Him, doing His work, will, searching His desires and His goals. So I guess the question is, when Christ comes back, He asks, will He find faith on earth? You know, the decision we have to make is, are we going to live for ourselves? Am I going to live for my life, what I see, what I desire? Or am I going to live by faith for Jesus Christ? The younger you are, the better it is to realize this truth. Amen. The more opportunity you'll have. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know what you don't want to get to in the end of your life is you don't want to get to the end of your life and only have regrets. Amen. Just regrets. That's what you don't want. And the thing you won't regret is serving Christ. If you serve Christ, you won't have a regret for that. That is not something you will regret, because that is living by faith, and that is the true meaning of your life. So you have to decide what you're going to do with your life. But don't live your life with one day coming to the end, only having regrets. If you live your life for riches, if you live your life for yourself, for your labor, for all these things, listen, in the end, it's meaningless. And you will regret it. You will regret it one day. But if you decide to live for Jesus Christ, that will be a life that has true meaning, and you will have nothing to regret. So these are just some points of Ecclesiastes that I thought were worth repeating and just meditating upon, thinking about, especially the younger you are. Man, you need to find this out as early as possible. A life without faith is meaningless. So what are you living for? What are you living for if it's not for Christ? What is your life if you don't have Christ? You don't have life. You don't have life if you don't have Christ. And that's the reality. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for your patience and for your mercy. We thank you for how caring and loving you are. Lord, we've seen what you have done in order for us to have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for coming to the cross and dying on the cross, that death, Lord, that is able to give us life. We thank you for it, Lord, and we see it by faith. And Lord, I ask that those that are in here that have not given their life to you, and maybe have not seen and understood the gospel, I pray that, Lord, you would open their eyes. I pray that you would show them and reveal to them the truth, that you would give them the clarity of the meaning of life. And Lord, for those of us that are yours, that have already renounced our life, Lord, help us to live that way every day. Help us to renounce the things of this world and to live for you, and to be reminded constantly of the reality that is in you, Lord, and not to be fooled by what this world presents to us, Lord. We ask that you would help us, Lord, in all that we're going through and what this country is going through. We ask, Lord, right now for just the different illnesses and the sickness in life and that are going around. Lord, we ask that you would be with us and that you would give us that peace that passes all understanding, Lord. Because we have something that those that don't have you don't have, Lord. And we have hope, and we thank you for this hope that we have. We ask that you would be with the youth in this congregation. Lord, I pray that they would see you and understand that you are the only thing worth living for. Outside of you, life is not worth living. Lord, we thank you. We ask for you to bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.